becomes very important. was originated by an action of those who gave you. Therefore, you're simply reacting to this. So your reaction of loving your parents is only natural because you received the gifts from them. But if your parents threw you in the garbage can, you wouldn't be standing there saying, "I love my parents." So the fact that your parents gave birth to you still is not the issue. The fact that they took care of you and showed you tender, loving care all builds up on this notion that now I love my parents and they know my parents are important to me. So we always love our parents from a selfish perspective. Nonetheless, as much as it may sound altruistic or it may sound grandeur, that I love my parents, and it is certainly noble to love your parents, but ultimately, though, we love our parents because we receive something from them. That is why I firmly believe that the love of the parent to the child is always superior to the love of the child to the parents. And the reason is because the parents were the originator of their good act when they could have called the child out, and they had nothing to lose from doing that. But by the infinite mercy of Allah, having connected the love of the child to the parents, being that the parents see the child as their own, and there's some treasure in it by them having received another life through them, and the fact that this child resembles them, and the fact that there is such a connection by the infinite mercy of Allah that the parent is willing to sacrifice themselves for the love of the child. Once again, the parent is superior, but there's a higher order, for Allah is the one who put that love in the parent, and therefore the parent did a good deed. Once again, I go back to the very basic philosophy here that all good originates from Allah. So Allah is saying to you and me, consider yourself you are not worthy of mentioning, but now you are. See, the fact that there was a moment that wasn't worthy of mention, what Allah is actually telling me is, although now you are worthy of mention, don't you dare take yourself to eternity thinking that you are God.
Wow.
Because you were not worthy of mentioning before, so you were insignificant before, and therefore your significance now depends on a precursor which caused your significance, and that is none other than the absolute creator, who is the originator, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard, huwa al-awwal wal-akhir wal-dahir wal-batin, huwa Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will not find such verses in any divine book on earth. Go to any religion in the world, you will not find such statements in any so-called divine book of any religion on earth. So those of us who are doubtful about the validity of our great faith in Islam, or we may be skimming the surface of this great faith, let's just start tapping into the beauty of this incredible religion and begin to see that even from a surface level, let alone the depth of it, it is sufficient evidence that there is no religion in the world that speaks like this, and therefore this must be a divine book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ. What a spectacular verse. We created man from that which clings in light estimation, being this thing that man we call the zygote, sperm of the egg. This is one aspect of it. Amshajin has many meanings, but let's take just one of these. Allah says, never tell me to try me. Wow, to try me? Why do you want to try me? Allah already knows what's going to happen to me. Isn't He the all-knowing? Yes. Isn't He the all-knowing? He already knows. This is a typical question we get from a lot of our youth, that Allah already knew what was going to happen to me. He knows how many people will go to hell. He knows how many people will go to paradise. So why did He create or is a typical question asked by most people in the world. The all-knowing God already knew that mankind, a certain portion of them, would end up in hell. Why did he therefore create them? Here Quran says, Nabtali, to tough, to test you. If you look at the essence of the examination, and I mentioned this before, the essence of an examination requires a just system, meaning I must be examined in a just examination. Don't fool me with exams. Don't give me a what we call a pseudo exam, which has no meaning. And Allah mentioned in Quran many places that Allah does not indulge in sport and play. You didn't create this for nothing. There's a reason here. There's a great reason. And we'll tap into this inshallah, and I'll move to another subject very rapidly on the foot with this issue and build into the same issue with regards to the Quran. You find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us fundamentally that in this exam, it is necessary for you to pass through it in order for you to elevate yourself. If not for an exam, there is no way you, the individual, the me, the myself, and I, will ever appreciate your existence. So one can argue, why not put humans who are going to go to paradise straight in paradise? Forget the trial. Let's bypass this trial, put you straight in paradise. Examine the value on a very, very fundamental level. Let's think paradise as the entity you are receiving in the material sense. I give you an example. Two people owning $100 million. Two people have $100 million. Equal amount of quantity, assuming these two persons are the same in quantity, therefore, they are occupying, for example, $100 million, for example, is a certain space in paradise. Just not complicated issues, but a simple example. Both of them have $100 million. So in quantity, they both have. One inherited it from his father and didn't really work much, the money just grew. The other one, his father was a very poor man, he died, but he struggled and he suffered and he climbed up the ladder and deciphered right from wrong and systematically built an empire with $100 million. At that specific moment in time, I took a snapshot and I froze the event and I said, two people, quantity wise, identical, I pose the question to you. Who is better? Without blinking, everyone will tell you the second one, the one who suffered. But I say, wait, in quantity, they both have the same. Why don't you say they're both the same? So there is a higher order to the individual possessing the material, that it is not the material that completes the circle, but rather the individuality attached to the material. The individual that grows and suffered and gained his heart and soul and blood, and having reached that high state, is undoubtedly superior to the one who simply received it. Don't you agree? Therefore, by the same example, if two people are placed in paradise, one went through a trial and suffered and passed it, versus one who was given a free trial, meaning no trial, and put into paradise, what's the value of the individual? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not judging me by the material quantity He's going to give me in eternity. Rather, this individual self, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabtali, you, the individual, who is the most important creation. Ashrafu al-Makhlufat, you, son, you are so high a creation that we had all the angelic beings bow to you. The implication, therefore, is that this individual being appreciates its maximum potential when it is given a trial and raised under that, and therefore given paradise. This completes the circle. The individual, if he enters paradise, he does admit, Alhamdulillah, Allahi, Hadana bihada, wa ma kunna linahtadiya, lawla ankalallah. He says, oh, Alhamdulillah, my Lord, thank you for giving me this. For had you not guided me, I would
Though he did partake in this trial, as a piece of the action, to be the recipient of it, but he sees himself furthest away from that, and therefore that Allah is the highest honor of the human being for having elevated himself, and while he's receiving it, he's also acknowledging the recipient, the one who's giving it to him. So, there are two people sitting in this room. One is a millionaire, and the other one is completely poor. But the one who's very, very poor is extremely wise. Very wise, very honorable, has an aura of presenting. An inner quality which cannot be attained by wealth. An inner quality that requires struggle and the deciphering of the difficulties of this life, and to figure out ways in which to avoid the evils and to maintain the purity of life, versus the other one who is super wealthy but lacks the quality of the first. Ask anybody in the world which is better. Wise people will always tell you the first one is better. Only materialist fools will tell you the second is better. But even when he says that, ultimately he's going to come back to his first one. Because there is no better than an individual who has elevated his status regardless of his material qualities. That's why Allah says, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi attaqwa." The best of Allah is the one who is highest God-fearing. So the trial of Allah is nafta'in. Allah is not putting us to undue difficulty in order to play a game. Allah already knows where we will end up. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through this system so that you and I should elevate our own standards and we become party to the self-elevation, such that when Allah does confer upon us His reward that we do not deserve, we feel we partake in a piece of our own action through this free will, and Allah is indeed merciful in elevating us from that level. So Allah, 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 Allah. Other side note here, you know, is look at our Imam Al-Hajjah, Rasulullah Ta'ala, Father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden him. People are complaining, why are we hidden him? We need him. Let him be tangible, let's go and talk to him, you know, touch him, let him come around and give us directions, you know. Why is he hiding? That's the material angle. The spiritualist says, alhamdulillah, he's in hiding to some degree. Why? Because when you look at that, it's not that the spiritualist wants the imam to be hidden, no. To him, the imam is really not hidden, but the imam is behind the curtain. Putting something behind the curtain causes the one on the other side of the curtain to struggle more to be able to see through the curtain. Wow. And in order to be able to see through the curtain, you have to struggle and suffer because you have to look at all the, now as what one would say, using the intellect, all the intelligent clues with regard to what is really behind the curtain. But if something is so prominently in front of you, your brain doesn't need to function to find clues. It's like the detective. If everything is in front of him, he doesn't need to work hard. But if he cannot find the murder weapon, or doesn't find the actual motive, and he now looks for clues, the more difficult the case, the more intelligent the detective. He solves the problem. Notice that the quantity there, the equation is, the more difficult, the greater this detective is. See the equation? When the detective concludes and comes up with a solution, who has been elevated? The detective. The detective now gains quality. The people say, wow, he is good. But it depended on the difficulty of the task. So Allah is not ready to try you. This difficulty of trial is good for you. As a matter of fact, if you understood the value of this difficulty, you will see the value of who you are. And there is a direct relationship here, that since this world is such a difficult place to live, I can conclude without any hesitation that mankind is indeed a genius and creator. He will not put a difficult exam for a dumb student. He will not make this difficult world difficult if the individual who is being tried cannot handle this difficulty. Therefore, by deductive logic, I can say that you and I have been blessed with incredible intelligence and the power to see through things if only we use this mind. What's up, la ya'qilun? Don't you use your mind? What's the problem with you? Afala yatadakkaruna al-Qur'an? Don't you ponder the Qur'an? What's your problem, Allah says? We have gifted you, mankind, with such intelligence. But you find the satanic governments of this world today have obfuscated this message by keeping us busy with mundane, stupid things like silly entertainment that's churned out of places like Hollywood. And today our kids are busy with this stupid PlayStation all day. Now I say, well, this is technology. What technology? I mean, there's one thing for children to play when they should be in meditation. You find kids don't even say their prayers because they're so busy with this silly gadget. There's a limit to this. They need to play, let them play. Nothing wrong. But you should not indulge in satanic forms of play. There was a game before called Mortal Kombat a few years back. But kids used to go to these places, now I mean, even the Sony PlayStation too, where you would work to kill somebody and then you take his heart out, you take his gizzards out, you take his intestines out, and behead him, and you chop him up, and you'd be laughing all over the place. Ooh, I succeeded. This barbaric satanic mentality, the Rambo mentality, that when you want to solve a problem, dismember the person, simply lowers the individual's quality when his intellectual power is the one that wins better than holding big, big guns with big 18-inch biceps. But Hollywood can't think intellectually. Why not? Not that Hollywood cannot churn out intellect. No, it can. Oh, it can. But you see, the world functions on the basis of supply and demand. The economist knows when there's no demand, there's going to be no supply. So mankind is demanding stupidity, and therefore Hollywood supplies stupidity. Allah says, لَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of mankind is stupid. Salaam
alaikum.
We're intelligent. You say we're gifted. What is this now? You belittle me. Precisely, the potential is there, but the movement isn't there. Therefore, we are in the extreme. Allah said, "Kal an'am, this man can use this favor. But whom Allah, he is like cattle." Allah says, "They are like cattle." What's his name? Worse than cattle.
What?
I'm worse than cattle. The cattle is moving all over the place. He has no idea what he's doing. He's just chewing grass all day. I'm worse than him? Allah says, yeah. Because the potential you have been given, when you cease to use it and you steal it and you do not function with it, then you will be held liable. And Allah says, come to the salunna. On that day, we will ask you, what did you do with this gift we gave you? This is the gift of the intellect. Look at how the Quran continues. نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Therefore, we have given him hearing and sight. Can you imagine? Look at the logic of the Quran. He says, نَبْتَلِيهِ he tests you. Therefore, we have given you فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Which book in the world speaks like that? Look at the logic. Allah says, I gave you your radars, your sensors, the two most powerful sensors, these two. Use it. Go on and try. Now, Sami and Basira doesn't really mean these two, by the way. It's metaphorical. Meaning that I touch, I can smell, I can taste with my feelings, you know. I can feel, I can smell a person. I can see, a blind person can see a person. So don't take it literal. When Allah says, Sami'an Basira, He is giving us the elements of our radar. He says, you've been given these five senses and your sixth intuition. Now you are armed. So go for it.
Then Allah continues to me. It's in that they know as a believer, we can guide them in the right path. In my Shakira or in my Kafura, we can guide this man whether he is grateful or he's not grateful. Notice the ayah, in my Shakira or in my Kafura. Right in this verse alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating the whole notion of predestination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this one verse alone shows us the power of free will. Because in a man, in Allah says whether he is grateful or ungrateful, the implication is very clear that this trial is purely based on free will. No predestination. We do not believe in fate where Allah has decreed everything and there's nothing to imagine to change it. Utter nonsense. This in fact negates the whole justice system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll speak about this on the day. But here let's understand the fundamentals of what is in my shakira or in my kafura. Meaning, free will is at play and the infinite mercy is at play. Meaning that even the atheist is given his sustenance. Even the disbeliever who rejects Allah or adds to Allah is given his existence. He is not denied his pleasure. He is not denied his health. He is not denied his food. He is not denied his existence. So what is in my shakira, what is in my kafura? How beautiful. Just look at the fundamental principles of this verse. Few verses. Just four verses. You know, the three verses of Surah Al-Dahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishing the entire fundamental principle of our existence. So let's take it to the next level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying us. What is this trial? The trial is very simple. We must submit to the truth. That's the trial. As simplistic as one would give an answer to, we must submit to the truth. Whatever the truth is. Give it any name you want. Whatever you want to call it, whatever color you think it is, it must be the truth. If it is the truth, submit to it, you will be rewarded. That's the condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha bil-haq. We created this universe in truth. If you subject yourself purely to the truth, there is no way you will miss the boat. So what is the truth? Fundamental truth. I exist. I have an existence. Therefore, I cannot come by myself. Because I'm a transient being. I wasn't there before. Therefore, something other than me has to remain me. Here, I don't want to get into the polemics of atheism versus theism, but suffice it to say tonight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us fundamentally that you cannot exist without somebody shaping you. The probability of you coming by pure chance is zero. Always zero. Always. Never more than zero. Never impossible. Take it further than that, you have a design. You have a motion, you have a purpose. The purpose of morality, the fact that I do things, has a high order of things over that which you just do. Inshallah, in the subsequent lectures, I'll speak about this. Where people say, science today can answer everything. We don't need a religion. We don't need God. Science can answer everything. It sounds good, doesn't it? With a nice touch to it. It's very authenticated. It comes from science. Beautiful word, science. It's sort of like very holy fire. But watch, it's actually a big fallacy there. And we'll talk about this in my subsequent presentation, inshallah. But I want to conclude something. I want to establish the beauty of this great book of Quran. In this lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Holy Quran in this lesson of Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, hudan lin-nasi wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan, in this lesson. So we must stress a lot on the authenticity and the importance of this great book of the Quran. It is not something you and I should take lightly. And it is a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this great month, Shahru Ramadan, where the Holy Quran inanzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr, laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr. This blessed month is better than a thousand miles. Why is it that we must be asking, why? I mean it. I'm experiencing it. I'm fasting. I'm remembering Allah. Why is it important? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many reasons. One of the main reasons to understand it is the fact that this great book of the Quran was revealed in this present moment. This miracle. So we will discuss this inshallah, but let me just set the standard of the fundamentals of the Holy Quran. Number one, the Quran is an incredible book. It was not brought in written form, it was brought in speech form through the mouth of the messenger, which was then commanded to be written down. It was not left uncollected in the life of our messenger. Whoever concocts this fabrication, this stupendous lie that the Quran was scattered all over the place, and then under the third caliph, second and third caliph, it was all collected nicely, and alhamdulillah, we were saved somehow from destruction. You know? Our messenger seems to have been so forgetful, astaghfirullah, that somehow he just forgot to collect it. You know, he worried so much about every little thing, but he forgot to collect the Quran. Great. Every Muslim hangs on to it. Can you imagine the ludicrous history that we are subjected to? That our messenger left this world without pointing, without collecting this? Can you imagine the nonsense that's brought in this world and it's accepted? You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave us in judgment day having accepted this nonsense? Never! Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that says, Qul atu'allimun Allah, are you teaching Allah your religion? You think we are that stupid? Our messenger was impeccable, perfect. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He is the best example. Who is it? خُلُقَ الْعَظِيمِ. The best creation. He is the master of it. I will continue this subject inshallah tomorrow about the impeccable nature of this Holy Quran. But let me conclude here. If you examine the whole Quran, its collection, you notice that there is no chronology to this book. Verses that were revealed first are later. Verses that were revealed last are earlier in the chapters. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever the verses were coming to your aid, is to say to the messenger, put it together here. This verse will be in this chapter, in this verse. The collection of the Holy Quran and its compilation was done in the lifetime of the messenger, and its potential, you know, putting the book together, was done in the lifetime. And when our messengers say, إِنِّي تَعَيْكُمْ فِيكُمْ مُتَّقَلِينَ, this is hadith mutawatir, accepted by al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah and the Shia. All schools of thought accept this hadith very clear. إِنِّي تَعَيْكُمْ فِيكُمْ مُتَّقَلِينَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَإِكْرَةِ أَحْلِ بَيْتِهِ. I give you two heavy things. The book of Allah. It didn't take those scattered pieces of paper hanging around somewhere. Inshallah, you'll collect it after and go back. Inshallah, maybe you know, Allah will protect you, inshallah. But you figure it out. Sometimes you see them in the bed. Hopefully, no clothes will come and eat it, you know. But inshallah, this is Islam. Al-Yawma al-Qadr 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 al Thank you. lives are being lost as we speak. Thousands and thousands of lives are being butchered, all for the sake of justifying a few lives that were lost in the United States, which were not even directly correlated to these lives. We're saddened by that. We find this is gross injustice in the world, and it is our duty to express it. But the only way we will overcome this destruction is for you and I, as a Muslim Ummah, regardless of what school of thought we come to unite on the front line that our Islam is one who's staying in Allah, the Messenger, the Quran, and the Kaaba, and our Qibla is the same. And that should be sufficient evidence that we must join together. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Iqrada rastallana wa ilhamna alladhina sabakuna bil iman wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, inshallah tomorrow we will, I think, have a Q&A session for the same father. Inshallah today.